It's good to have the warmth of Jesus in your heart on mornings like this. Tomorrow it will be even colder, so be prepared. That's a lesson to be shared today. Please find your way to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We are now studying the fourth letter that Paul had sent to the believers in Corinth. Two letters we do not have. Two letters are God-inspired, and we hold them in our hands. As Paul opened this letter, he began by defending his apostleship. He began with Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. As we all know, the false teachers in that area were trying to discredit Paul. You see, if they can convince the people that Paul was not sent by God, then they would be able to bring in their lies, and soon after, the people would follow them instead of following the one true living God. So they said that Paul was not sent by God. They said this for their own gain. The proof they said they had, they said that God was judging Paul and not blessing him. See, everyone knew of the pain and suffering that Paul had gone through. Everybody knew that. And so the false teachers used that to advance for the advancement of their agenda. So we'll be talking about the doctrine of suffering today as we move along through this chapter. But listen, here's what they're saying. There's no way this man could be sent by God. Look at his life. It's one trial after another. It's one painful experience after another. It's night after night in jail. None of that is of God, they would say. God wants you to be healthy and wealthy. God doesn't want you to suffer or be sick. I guess the health and wealth gospel isn't something new, is it? It's been around for many years. You know, Dr. David Jeremiah said one time that if the gospel you are preaching cannot be preached to every person on the face of the earth, then you are preaching a false gospel. You are preaching a lie. What he's saying is you can't preach the prosperity gospel to people who live in the famished lands of Africa, right? Think about it. How's this sound? Hey, if you would just accept Jesus, you'd get a brand new car. I know there's no gas station for 150 miles from you, but that's the way God blesses us here in America. And, you know, he gives us cars and he gives us houses and he gives us money, and he'll do the same thing for you. The reason you live in this dump of a tent is that you haven't planted your seed. What you need to do is give me your only loaf of bread that you were going to feed your four children with. Give that to me, I mean the church. And just sit back and wait for the blessings to flow. Tenfold if you just plant that seed. Really? And then they say, you know, that's how we know that you truly have faith in God, right? Is that he will bless you with a truckload of cotton. That's what money's made out of, in case you're wondering. It's a bunch of stuff that the moths and the rust will eat. This is how we really know that you believe in Jesus. That is garbage. It's a sickening gospel, and it's a lie. If you can't preach that gospel everywhere to every soul, then it's not the true gospel. The prosperity gospel will not preach to every soul. The health gospel will not preach to every soul. You know what bugs me about these health preachers? You know, the ones that promise that you'll have great health if you just come to Jesus. You'll be healed of everything. Put your faith in Jesus. They die. That just bothers me. I mean, if God promises great health if we just submit to him, don't you think that, you know, that none of us would get sick? This would be the healthiest group of people you've ever seen in your life, you know? That we'd live for a long, long time because we wouldn't get sick? I guess those preachers don't practice what they preach. I guess they don't have enough faith. Because they die. But anyways, Paul never promised that you would not have any heartaches, affliction, or any suffering of any kind to anyone he preached the gospel to. He never said that. The only prosperity gospel that Paul preached was that you would receive all the spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he preached. So the truth of the matter is that Christians will suffer. Suffering is real. It is painful, and it's not something that will go away if we just ignore it or if we just have just a little bit more faith. Suffering and affliction is real, and it happens to everyone, believers included. Peter wrote to his friends, he said, don't be surprised when the fiery trials come upon you. Don't be surprised, he says. It will happen to each and every one of us. Might not be happening today, but it will happen. So if we are not to be surprised, then what should we do? We should be prepared, right? We should know the truth. The number one way that we can be prepared, we saw this last week, is to know that God will be with us. We have to be confident of this, that in the pain and in our suffering, there is a presence of a faithful God. God is with us during the good times and what seems to be the worst of times. God puts comfort in our hearts, the true comfort that does not come from worldly possessions or from healthy life. You see, Paul did not deny the suffering he had gone through. He did not even try to debate anyone. What he did, as we saw last week, was he praised God because God had been with him the entire time. If it were not for God, Paul would not have made it through many of those trials. In his own strength, he would have quit. He was able to endure because of his faith and trust. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. He praises God because God is the God of all comfort. He is the God who comforts us in our affliction. Now listen, the word comfort can also be looked at as strength. You see, don't think that, you know, when you're going through a tough time, you just lay back, oh man, I'm comfortable. God's giving me comfort. Bring me some more grapes. See, it's not like that. It's this comfort that God gives us. It's the strength to endure it. He gives us the strength to do the next thing in the toughest of times. He gives us the strength to look forward to the day coming. That's the comfort we have. And so when we make it through those tough times, we are able to help others get through their trials. Because God has been with us in our times of trouble, we are able to pass that on to others. Can I point out something here? That's one of the true blessings of being a part of a church family here. It's when heartache hits that you realize how important your church family really is. It's the family coming together and comforting one another that really brings the glory to God. This is how the world will know you. Well, this is how the world will know that you are of Christ, he says, by how we love one another in good times and in bad. And what a beautiful witness this is to the ones who are lost and lonely in their times of trouble, right? We just pray that they see the love of God in us and will want what the church family has. So know that we will have afflictions in our lives in order that we may know the comfort of God so that we will pass it on to others. Verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. So here's another purpose for our suffering, so that we will become more like Christ. We share in Christ's suffering, and by doing so, we will grow closer to God, and we will know Him more intimately, and our life will reveal that to others. Now this does not mean that we share in the Savior's atoning suffering, okay? The suffering that our Savior endured on the cross is unique only to the God-man, and no man can share in that. But we as Christians can and do suffer because of our association with the Lord Jesus. We suffer rejection, maybe from family members, co-workers. We suffer hostility, hatred, denial, betrayal, just because we proclaim the name of Jesus. You know, it's not as bad here in America yet, but in other parts of the world, it would mean death if you said that you were a Christian and that you had given your life to Jesus. So there can be pain and suffering for just being a follower of Christ. Look at Paul for an example. Remember what the false teachers are saying, that God is not with Paul. There's no way he could be. Just look at the suffering he's going through. God's not with him. Paul's saying, God is with me. God God choosing me and being with me is the reason for my suffering. I'm suffering because of Christ. The beatings, the imprisonment, the run out of town, all that stuff. All because I proclaim Jesus. You see, if Paul had just kept his mouth shut, I believe a lot of this tribulation wouldn't have happened to him. Right? But we can't fault Paul for that, not for keeping his mouth shut. We all know that you can't keep quiet when you find out who Jesus is. You got to share that. You have to tell people. You want them to understand the love that God has for his people. That brings up another point of this verse. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort. What God is telling us, don't think that there is only a certain amount of comfort that he has for us. You know, he said, well, here's your portion. Whoops. It's empty. Sorry, you're on your own. No. If you suffer abundantly, God will comfort abundantly. And his comfort is sufficient. He is the God of all comfort. Remember that, verse 3. Jesus said, Jesus promised, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5, 4. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Write this down in your margins. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. God is truly the God of all comfort, and his comfort will not run out. It is eternal. Now, before we go on, I got to make another very important point here. This comfort only goes to those who are suffering for the sake of Christ. You see? Too many times you hear people go, you know, that I'm suffering for Christ, when actually they're suffering because of their own sin. Or their own stupidity, maybe. I don't know. It's like this. People don't do proper maintenance on their vehicle. They go down the road. Their car leaves them on the side of the road. And, you know, they were on the way to share the gospel. They was going to do something good. And they will come out. You know, man, this is an attack. I was attacked, they will say. I had to walk 2 miles in the dark because my car left me on the side of the road. That's the suffering I endure for the gospel. No. You had to walk because you were lazy to start with and were not taking care of what God had given you. So listen, what I'm saying is we need to be careful what we call suffering or an attack. Or, you know, my cross to bear, or, you know, why is God disciplining me? We need to be careful how we throw those words around. You know, you're walking down the street, you're not watching where you're going, and you run into a pole, and you grab your head, and you go, oh, what is God trying to teach me? Well, why am I having so much pain? Well, what he's teaching you is to pay attention where you're going. Everything is not an attack. So let's be careful what we call an attack. Let's be careful how we say, oh, look how I'm suffering for the gospel. Everything is not an attack. All suffering is not because of Christ. Sometimes things just happen. It's a fallen world. So the word says that this comfort goes to those who are suffering for the sake of Christ. But you will not receive that comfort to God if you are suffering because of your sin. Write this verse in your margins, 1 Peter 4:12. I mentioned this earlier. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. So this is talking about the suffering for Christ. This does happen. Now watch this, verse 15. But let none of you suffer, listen, here's another way you could suffer, as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Bottom line, you can suffer because of your own sin. okay? There are consequences for your sin, not because you are a follower of Christ, but because of your sin. We see this all the time, you know, people going against what God's word says, and then they wonder why they're suffering. Why is this happening to me? Why is God not blessing what I'm doing? Where is God in this time of need? Hey, he's right there with you still. He's chastening you, okay? Because of your sin. If we are sinning, God has all right as the Father to discipline us out of love. Write this verse in your margins. Pen probably getting empty now. Hebrews 12:5-11. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. Praise the Lord, right? For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. If you are a child of God, then God will discipline you. Why? Because he loves you. He knows what is best for you. He loves you enough not to let you go any further down that road. Be sensitive. The word says he disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. I'll take that. Now, this suffering that comes from being disciplined is between the one who has sinned and God. Okay? Now, since we know that God will discipline us, if you're going through a tough time, then I would say the first thing that you need to do is do a self-examination, okay? To see if God is disciplining you, self-examination. To see if there's something in your life that is causing the problems that you are having. Spend some time with God. Spend some time in his word. Search your heart. Get rid of any sin that may be hindering your walk. Now, if you see someone else going through some afflictions, let's make sure that the first thing we do is not to examine their lives, okay? What I'm saying is we do not know why someone may be suffering. It could be that they are learning about comfort so they could pass it on. We've read that. It could be that they are suffering for Christ. It could be because of sin, right? But we don't know. Too many times we have seen the dogmatic theologian, the legalist, the holier-than-thou, the Bible-thumping, loveless person immediately ask, I wonder what sin that person has in their lives since he is suffering. Nothing can be more damaging to someone than have a brother in Christ judge him when he is already going through a tough time. Okay? You see, we do not know why someone may be going through a trial, having affliction, or suffering. Just like Job's friends, they didn't know. He ended up looking like a fool. And they were of no use to Job in his time of need. He needed someone to love him, not judge him. He needed someone to comfort him, not to make the situation worse. He needed someone to just be there for him, not someone to show Job how holy they are. So it's good to do a self-examination. We do that every Sunday. But do not judge others, because we do not know what God is doing in that person's life. We don't know. So no, we do know that we will have afflictions in our lives in order that we may share the comfort of God, so we may know the comfort of God, so we can pass it on to others. We know that we can go through suffering so we can become more like Christ. We share in Christ's suffering. We know that our suffering can be God disciplining us because of sin in our lives. And the last one we'll look at here today is suffering can be God testing our faith. We go through trials in order to see if our faith in God is genuine. Verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. You know it had to be bad if Paul was saying that. Verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. They were tested to make them rely not on self, but on God. You see, Paul may have given up on life, but God had not given up on Paul. It was God who was in control of the trial that led Paul to rely completely on God. He fully trusted God with his life. His faith is genuine. Again, never give up on God. Never think that God is not with you, and never think that God is not in control of all. Never think that God doesn't care about your situation, because he does. He took Paul right to the point where he said, "Hey, I'm done." But he was there with him. Here's another verse put in your margins. 1 Peter 1:5 through 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Why? Verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, the suffering that we go through here on earth is but for a little while compared to eternity, right? What's more important in life? To have gold and live a comfortable life here on earth, or to know that your faith is genuine? Would it not be better to know that you will spend eternity where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, and no more tears than to have riches of this world and a comfortable life for a short time? What's more important? The testing of your faith is a good thing. It shows us how weak we really are. It shows us that we are not in control of everything, and reveals to us who He is. By knowing who we really are, reveals to us who God really is. You know, it's those times when we get to the so-called end of our rope is when we will cry out to God. You know? Because at that point, we know that He is the only one that can give us help. He's the only one that can give us hope. He's the only one that can give us comfort. What's the purpose of man? Glorify God, right? Well, when our faith is tested, when we have been grieved by various trials, when we come out on the other side and our faith has been proven genuine, what is the result? The result, it says, is praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus gets the glory of it all. We get to the other side, no matter the trial. We get through and we praise God, and we bring glory to God by trusting Him through it all. Some may say, that ain't fair. God gets the glory because of my suffering. Be careful. We don't want what is fair. It's not fair that Jesus had to suffer on and die on a cross for our sins. That's not fair, but we don't mind receiving the benefits of that act of injustice. We accept that love. So let's not go down the not fair road. Instead, we need to reciprocate the love back to the one that first loved us and rejoice and praise God when our faith is proven genuine through our suffering. I want to make sure that everyone, that no one gets the wrong idea here about God delivering us through our trials, okay? God does not always deliver us immediately or deliver all people in the same way. The point I'm making, at some time in our lives, God will call us home, okay? So the proof that our faith is genuine is not that God saved us from tragedy or from death, right? Even though that's what he did here for Paul, the sincerity of our faith is proven during the test, you see, not that God saved us out of it. Example, James was beheaded, right? Yet Peter was delivered from prison. Both were delivered, but in different ways. You see, sometimes God delivers us from our trials, and at other times, he delivers us in our trials. But either way, their faith was proven to be genuine. Speaking of James, write this down in your margins. James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Count it all joy, James says. The testing of your faith makes you perfect and complete. You lack nothing. Not perfect in the sense of a sinless life. That's not what he's saying. But perfect in the sense of spiritual maturity. If you are growing and maturing in your faith, then you'll be lacking nothing. We have all the spiritual blessings. Remember that. So if the trials test your faith, meaning that you will grow spiritually and closer to God, then count it all joy. Rejoice. Rejoice and praise God. Don't get caught looking at the test. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Run to him. Embrace him. And let his loving arms hold you. He does love you. He's already proven that at Calvary. Rejoice. Amen? So we know that we will have affliction in our lives in order that we may know the comfort of God and that we may pass it on to others. We know that we will go through suffering so that we become more like Christ when we share in Christ's suffering. We know that our suffering can be God disciplining us because of sin in our lives. We know that suffering can be God testing our faith. We go through trials in order to see if our faith in God is genuine. So suffering, pain, affliction, trials are real. And like we have just seen, just because you are a believer does not mean that you will never go through trials and tribulations on this earth. You know, I told you that the health and wealth gospel is a false gospel and it's a lie from the pit, right? Well, there's another false gospel that's going around the churches today. That is that if you accept Jesus, everything will be all right. If you accept Jesus, he'll fix all your problems. One day he will. One day he will make it all right. But until then, the Word says we will suffer. But the good news is, if you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus, then God promises, his promise is that he will be with you at all times, and he has a purpose for this suffering, as we have seen. What's the purpose of suffering, you may ask? Write this in your margins, Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Why do we rejoice? Listen. Because knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God is with us. Knowing that God's love has been poured into our hearts and the Holy Spirit is there makes us perfect and complete, lacking nothing. One more verse. Write this one down. We've all heard this. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purposes. All things. All things. Not just the happy times. Not just the good times. All things. So what have we learned about suffering? It is a part of life in this fallen world, and the Bible does not discount it. But it does show us its purpose and how to get through it. In verses 3 through 7 here in our text, we see the words affliction and suffering used 6 times. But the word comfort is used 10 times. There is almost double the amount of comfort than there is suffering. God is with us at all times if we put our trust in Him. Pastor Vince?